Elohim Tov?
Kol Hazman.
Pastor Ben can't even say Kol Hazman. You want to know why? He's got a mouthful of cookies. Well, I'll say it for you. Kol Hazman, Pastor Ben.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for these cookies. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. We're going to pray in. If you pray us in, we will be ready to rock and roll.
Lord, Father, we come in your name, Jesus Christ. We just thank you for this time that we have to share together. And we just ask that you be in our presence. Let us just share in this moment to learn your word. Give Pastor Sandy the Holy Spirit to share what is needed tonight. Open the ears to understand and receive. And we just pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Give me an Alpha and Omega silver thing. I haven't heard of that. Then I could explain 8889. You know what I mean? I like when people ask me questions and I just get all crazy. Like, what are you, a pastor? I guess I am. Okay. So I'm going to tell you guys how this Bible study tonight came about. I was in the house and I'm trying to calculate some numbers. Lador HaAcharon, the last generation. So I'm trying to do the gematria for that to see if it tells me something incredible, and then I can bring it to you. And then I hear the Lord say, step outside for a minute, I want to talk to you. Because you know I had jazz on, and Andrea's in there, and Israel's in school, and Drea's in there, she's working from home today. So the Lord says, step outside for a little while. You don't have to keep trying to figure out the date. He says, that's not why I called you. I called you to prepare people to be ready for the date. So when the date comes, they know how to be living for Christ, so that when it comes, they'll be ready to go, okay? So don't do any more calculations. And then he says, anyway, prophecy time has run out. So there's no more time to be calculating anything, okay? Prophecy timeline has run out. Mm-hmm. So he says, go back inside and put the Bible study together and don't try to come up with any dates, and just show people that this prophecy timeline is done. Have you seen what's going on in Israel? Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, you should know we're done, okay?
Yep.
When you see Israel bring forth, I don't know who that guy was, and proclaim him to be their Messiah, you know that we are done, okay? Yep. When you see what's going on in the world, you know, I got kicked off Facebook, and I was like, wow, if you tell people the truth, they'll kick you off now. You know, it's not like, this is like brand new stuff. It's like, so they let me back on last night. You know, I was telling everybody, hey, I'm sorry I didn't hear from you, but I didn't respond to you, but I was in Facebook prison, I guess. I just got out. So it was crazy. I was like, wow. Anyway, you know, nobody wants to know the truth. Nobody wants to know, you know, what's really going on, because if you tell somebody what's really going on, then, you know, all of these social medias will immediately, like, okay, you can't be on anymore because you're telling people the truth, and we are not going to have that. So, all right. Well, I got a better truth to tell people anyway, because as long as Satan is conniving and trying to figure out how to destroy human beings, God has a plan too that was written quite a long time ago, and his plan is going to work very well.
Amen.
So it's amazing. I was watching this boxer the other night. Boy, he's one of those fancy black fighters. It's an old fight. He's just like one of the fancy. He was, before walking down the aisle to go into the ring, he was just dancing and doing all this. And, you know, they had the music and a little rapper next to him. And he's just throwing his fist up and like raising his hand and just flamboyant going into the ring. And then he got in the ring, and there was this Mexican kid there. And the Mexican kid looked kind of scared, but he didn't look like, you know, he was worried. He's like, you know, I'm probably scared for you. And so the black guy's in his face, and he's like yelling at him, and he's telling him, yeah, what's going to happen to you? Two rounds, you're out of here, blah, blah, blah. Then he walks away from him. He starts dancing again. Fight starts. Mexican guy knocks him down first.
And then clocked him.
He gets up again. The Mexican guy knocks him out. He's all hanging on the ropes, arms over the ring like that, his hands like this. And I'm like, now, there's a picture of Satan.
Yep.
You know what I mean? A whole lot of, oh, what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. You better be scared because this is what I'm going to do. And then God goes, pow! And it's done, right? So I really enjoyed that. It was just crazy. But as soon as it was over, I was like, wow. Now that is a biblical picture right there. Whole lot of talk. Here we go. I am going to take you through three scriptures because I want you to know the seriousness of tribulation, okay? I want everyone to know the seriousness of tribulation, okay? Because someone sent me a video and said, they are telling farmers to destroy their crops, okay? And if they don't destroy their crops, they don't get any financial help from the government. So they're telling these farmers they have to destroy their crops. And if the farmers say no, they won't get the subsidies or the money from the government, so then they won't be able to survive. So they have to just destroy their crops, which makes it like, so what are they saying? So the guy says, these people are evil. They're setting up for a famine.
Yep.
I said, yep. Book of Revelation already talked about there's going to be a famine after the rapture, that there's going to be a famine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we already know there's going to be a famine. I mean, but what someone sent me was the latest news from Satan. Because he wants the world to know this is what we're doing, this is what's going to happen to you. But I'm not afraid of after the rapture. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not trying to live my life like I can sin all I want and still go to heaven. I can sin all I want. I can be lukewarm and still get raptured. There's people that live like that, and some guy trying to argue with me over that again. And I'm like, dude, don't email me anymore. Keep living in sin and not repenting, and you will be in hell with a bunch of people that never accepted Christ, okay? Because if your only strength is you've accepted Christ, but you're just a sinner, then you're going to end up in the same place, right?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think he's got a lot of studying to do before he should start trying to defend his freedom to sin and still go to heaven.
Amen.
Okay? I want us to go to Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. Because, we've gone over these scriptures, but you never know, there's new people. And I want you guys to understand, what I really want you to know is, after the disappearance, see, a lot of people don't really understand this. We can go through the Bible all day and show you that God's going to rapture his people out of the church and then tribulation is going to start, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We can go over a million scriptures that tell you God is going to rapture his people out of the world and then tribulation is going to start, okay? Then in the book of Revelation, it tells you this is what's going to happen in the tribulation. There's going to be famines, there's going to be wars, there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be death, there's going to be heads chopped off, there's going to be martyrs, okay? So the book of Revelation is telling you what tribulation is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But the simplicity of accepting Christ and walking in Christ, people want to argue over that, okay? And it's not worth arguing over, okay? So, listen to this as I read. I was reading in Hebrew all week this week, and I'm telling you, I saw some beautiful things. And it says, the righteous, I'm gonna say it in Hebrew. It says, Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. Ha-tzadik, tzadik means the righteous, avad. That means the righteous disappear. Avad means to vanish. The righteous people vanish, okay? It's written here, the righteous perish, but if you're righteous, what are you doing perishing? Because if we start thinking English, and you say perish, what do you mean? You think death, destroyed, right? Why are the righteous destroyed? So why use the word perish? Because you're an English interpreter and you're just trying to find a word because you can't understand that they vanish, okay? Mm-hmm. So the Hebrew word is the hatzadik avad, vanish. And no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are asaf. Asaf means like collected off of a tree, fruit collected off of a tree. Mm-hmm. So the right, it says the devout men are asaf, or but the English says devout men are taken away. And no one understands that the righteous are taken away to spare them from evil. Okay?
Amen.
So the purpose of taking righteous people out of the earth is to do what?
Spare them from evil.
To spare them from evil. Okay? Why do we have to paint a picture of evil to scare people? I think the word should explain itself, right?
Hello.
Righteous people are going to be taken away to spare them from evil. Okay? Mm-hmm. Jackie says you're in a way, Pastor Ben.
Ooh, I'm sorry, Jackie. I'm sorry.
So,
yes.
At the end of the scripture, it says, in verse 2, it says, those who walk upright, okay, enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. But you, come here, you sons of sorcerers, or sorceries, you offspring of adulterers and prostitutes, who are you mocking? So that means some mocking was going on before the righteous disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So now it says, who are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not broods of rebels and offsprings of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree. You sacrifice your children in the ravine and under the over. Well, anyway, it just gets more and more into the fact that the righteous have been gone, are gone, and now you people who mock the righteous about what? The disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the righteous have avad. The righteous have been taken. The righteous have been taken away to spare them from evil. There's something coming upon the earth that God already wrote about that he wants people that love him to never experience.
Amen.
Okay? And so he continually warns us, make sure that you're not a part of that. Let's go to Micah chapter 7. And it's in verse 1, it said, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I craved. So they're saying the early is during the summer before the early fruit. And it says, and there's no cluster of grapes to eat, and none of the early figs that I crave. Now this is God speaking, and he's saying, it's early in the summer, Israel still is not prepared, which is the fruit harvest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Israel is still not prepared, this is the early summer, Israel is still not prepared, and there's none of them that are ready for me yet. But he says this thing in the next one. It says, the godly have been swept away from the land. Now, in Hebrew, Hakesed, which means like righteous people, the saints. The saints have been, have avad from the land. The saints have vanished from the land. So now it's telling you once again that righteous people have disappeared. It's using the same word. In the Hebrew, it uses the same word. The English can't understand it. I guess they never read the book of Enoch. I mean, they never read the fact that Enoch was taken while he was alive, so they can't understand vanishing. But Hebrew has a word for it. It's called avad. So it says it once again. It says the godly have vanished from the land. And then it says this, after the righteous have vanished from the land, not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. You see what's happening to the earth right away?
Mm-hmm.
So now it has become evil. Immediately it becomes evil. There's no more righteous people in the world. He doesn't say there's a few righteous people left and I hope they make it. No, he says, if you didn't make it, there's no one in that earth after the rapture that God says they're righteous.
Amen.
Okay, now, then it says this. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift, the judges accept bribes, the powerful dictate what they desire, and they conspire together. The best of them, all mankind, is like a briar, which is like a thorn bush, okay? Which is the symbol of Satan. The most upright is worse than a thorn hedge.
Mm.
So he said all of these people like demons and devils. There's no more righteous people left. And he's telling you, look, the best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come. What's the watchman's day? The rapture.
Yep.
He said, now that the day has come, he says, the day of the watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. Okay? So now is the time of their confusion. Why? Because the day of the watchman has come. So now you're thrust into confusion. He's saying this. Now, God tells me to step outside because I want to talk to you. And he says, besides prophecy, there's no more prophecy time left. Prophecy time has ended. So he says, just tell people to be ready because prophecy timing has ended. So I'm trying to tell you, and while somebody's emailing me about, hey, how much sin can I do and still be saved? Sent me a video of Scotty Clark preaching. Scotty Clark has like completely lost his mind. It's like he should be in a mental home right now, a spiritual mental home right now. He says, repentance is only for non-believers. If you don't know Christ, then you should repent. But no born-again Christian should ever have to repent, because if you repent, now you're trying to be saved by your own works for repenting for the things you do.
Oh.
I was like, that was spoken like an idiot. Say it again. You know, I mean, I had to rewind it. That was just the dumbest thing I had ever heard.
Wow.
That was like, If you're in Christ and you sin and you repent, you're trying to save yourself by works. Hey, look, man, this what you listen to is satanic. Just don't listen to it. Guy immediately gets on. He wants to convince me. I'm like, what is wrong with people? That is in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, The doctrine of the Nicolaitans I hate.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is saying this. He says, they follow the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Which the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was, you're already God's people. You can sin as much as you want because God's never going to make you not his people again, right? Get up, they're like, hey, we're free to sin. We can sin because we're God's people and he's never going to let us go.
Mm.
And so Jesus comes, he says, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And the doctrine of Nicolaitans is bad. And Christians are like, this is a great new doctrine, you know?
Wow.
But this is what the scripture says. Now, the day of the watchman has come, the day of God visits you, and it says, now is the time of their confusion. But listen to the rest of this. It says, now everyone who's living in the earth after the disappearance, right? Mm-hmm. It says, do not trust a neighbor, put no confidence in a friend, even with her you lie in her embrace, be careful of your words. For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemy are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord, I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. So, God is saying, look, in that time, now, they got so many people to sign up to be, you know, people who go out and investigate to see if they got COVID, right?
Oh.
I forgot what that job was, but the government was hiring people to tell on people who they saw walking around without their mask and was in contact with somebody else who might have COVID. So they could call in and report it and come to your house and put you. So the government was hiring people to do this. I forgot what the title of the job was, but people were getting hired for this, right?
Contact tracers. Vicki Dietz told us.
Contact tracers. So you could get a job with the government as a contact tracer. And people were just trying, oh, we did anything for money. I'll think on fellow human beings for money. So it's like, during the tribulation, how do you think people are going to act? Mm-hmm. And how do you think people are going to be?
Yep.
Do you think if you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, I don't have the mark, but I'm still eating well, don't tell anybody. And you're like, that's my girlfriend, she'll never. The Bible told you don't trust her.
Huh.
She's down there collecting a $10,000 award for thinking on you.
Yep.
You don't understand how it's going to be. You're trying to live a lukewarm lifestyle in Christ, but you don't understand how the tribulation's gonna be. And you think that the rapture just pulls up everybody who's thinking about Jesus. And it's not true. Jesus says, if they're lukewarm, I'm gonna spit them out of my mouth. You can't be lukewarm if you never know Christ, right?
Right.
You have to at least know it. If they don't have oil in their lamp, you don't need oil in your lamp if you're not following Christ. So these are people that were following Christ, were doing things that weren't like Christ, or were following Christ and somebody told them that they can do things that are not like Christ, and don't worry because the rapture will understand your heart. And if God is like, I'm telling you, lukewarm people will not be raptured. There were 10 virgins, only 5 were ready. I'm trying to tell people to be ready to go. How do you be ready to go? You stay in relationship with God, okay? It's a simple thing. The Lord's like, I know you're tired. Yeah, Lord, I'm tired of telling them. But it's a simple thing,
yeah.
Okay? It's very simple. If I'm in a relationship, we are in constant communication.
Yep.
Okay? I do not suggest anybody who's married take a week away from their wife without talking to them. Just say, see ya. Mm. And come back in 7 days,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, that turns out.
Because you're in a relationship, that means you're in constant contact and you're in constant relationship with each other. It's a simple concept. Christ is not a tradition or a religion. He is a God who desires to have a personal relationship with his creation. Because if that's not the fact, I'll tell you, tell me what church did Adam go to? Tell me what was his denomination?
He didn't have one.
It was just him and God, right?
That's it.
God is going through all of this to get us back to, I just want to tabernacle with you and have a relationship with you. I didn't want buildings, and the Catholic brought you all of that. I don't need a guy sitting in the on the stands with in a wicker chair telling people he's Reverend Billy whatever. You don't need all that, right? You don't need religion to know Jesus.
That's right.
You need a relationship to know Jesus, okay? So what's going to happen is going to happen, but I want you to know tribulation is real. Now, I'm gonna read one more thing and then we'll move on. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. And now this is Jesus, you know, it's like, ah, oh, Jesus. This is the scriptures Scotty Clark gonna say. He said, oh, Jesus didn't mean that. I'm like, it seems pretty plain what he meant. But let's read it and let's see what he meant, okay?
Where are you reading from, Pastor?
I'm in Luke chapter 21, verse 32. And the writing's in red. This is Jesus talking. Oh my goodness, I forgot. They are teaching that the four gospels is not for Christians.
Who's teaching that?
The whole thing that they're doing. The gospels are not, because they're dividing the word, remember? I'm properly dividing the word. I'm making sure that the part that's just for the Jews get read by only the Jews, and the part that's for the Gentiles, you know, the Paul part get read by Paul people, and then, you know, these few books, they're for, and that one's for the Hebrews, and we're not even supposed to be reading the four gospels because it's not for us.
Oh, brother.
And you would think, like, one of my biggest flaws is I think people are smarter. I always think, they'll never fall for it. They're smarter than that. And it's not true. People are falling for it.
It's not true.
So I guess that's why God says keep preaching, because there are people that fall for stuff. And if you don't keep telling the truth, they'll keep falling for it. So Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Be careful or you're, now this is Jesus still talking, and he's talking to Christians. Be careful or your heart will be weighed down with dispensation and drunkenness. And he says, even if you're not into dispensation and drunkenness or the anxieties of life, he's saying, be careful about the anxieties of life taking over our relationship.
Yep.
Because if you get so involved into life's issues, and I gotta do this and I gotta do that, and you forget about Jesus, he said, don't even let the anxieties of life pull you away from me. Because the answer to anxieties of life is Jesus. It's prayer. So you should never be pulling away from God, right?
Amen.
So he says, be careful, or you might, you know, start hanging around these people with dispensation and drunkenness, and then he says, or the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. Tribulation's a trap. Once you're in it, you can't get out.
Right.
Only through death. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole world. Wait a minute. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole world. Is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
We just went through that in 2020. We saw that the whole world can be affected. So he says, be always on watch. Who's he talking to? Christians. And pray, Christians, always, yes, that you may be able to escape all that, so you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. How much are you gonna escape?
All
that is about to happen, okay? So now you gotta get away from Christians going, well, I think we're gonna go through the first 3 years, and then, you know, after we're tired of running, Jesus is gonna come and rescue us. It's like, honey, you tired of running? Yeah. I'm your bride. I'm tired of running. They're trying to kill me. And then he'll come get you like 3.5 years later, right? So it's like a lot of crazy stuff that people believe in because we listen to too many people. Find somebody that knows the Bible and loves Jesus and find a good Bible teacher so that, and then stay there. Don't start, and please, don't drown yourself in the internet because too much negativity is not good for the human mind. The Bible says, think upon things that are lovely, honorable, pleasing, right? He says, think upon these things, right? Mm-hmm. This is how God wants, because God knows your mind is not made for negativity. This is how people lose their mind. This is how people can't sleep at night, because they're like constantly, like, guess what? And then they're gonna do this, and then they're gonna, comet's coming, and the comet's gonna blow up the whole world. I'm like, if the comet blows up the whole world, then the book of Revelation can't happen, so that's not gonna happen.
Right.
No, Pastor, you don't understand. See, Nibiru and Planet X been, I was like, I don't care. It's not gonna happen. How do you know, Pastor? Because the Bible has to happen.
Right.
So you can't get yourself all caught up in what the world, even if you found out where Bill Gates lives and you found out in his house he has a full-fledged plan to kill every human being and you stole the plans and you brought them to us, it's still not going to change the Bible. You understand? So knowing all of that doesn't change anything about what the Bible's going to do. You want to know what's going to happen in the Bible? The church is going to get raptured. Evil in the world is going to get worse. There's going to be war. There's going to be famines. There's going to be death. There's going to be martyrs. Okay? Then Jesus will come, beat up Satan, throw him into hell, lock him up for 1,000 years, throw the false prophet and the Antichrist into the same hell. Okay? Kick all the Nephilim and demons off of the planet, back down into hell. And then he'll reign and rule for 1,000 years. And then after 1,000 years, he'll let him go and then beat him up some more, and then we won't have to deal with him anymore. Woo. That's the plan, right?
Beautiful plan, beautiful plan.
It's a beautiful plan. Now, because you hear something doesn't change this. I'm trying to explain to you who has been controlling history since the beginning of time. Who said they'll be there for 400 years in slavery and then they'll come out? Who said that Israel will go into Babylon for 70 years and then, who said that they'll be gone from Israel for 2,520 years and then exactly in May 14, 1948, they come back into the land? Yeah. Who said 19 years later they'll get their Jerusalem back? Who said all of this stuff? Who said that slavery would happen 9 years after Egypt fall and black slavery happened 9 years after Egypt fell and it's in Ezekiel chapter what, 30, right? I'm like, he predicted black slavery in the Bible. And I can't even tell black people this. You know what I mean? They're like, God predicted slavery? It's in the Bible. God has been predicting history since the beginning, and now we want to feel like something else is in control. The Bible's in control.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. I don't want to have to read all of that. Daniel 9, okay, verse 26. Now, I just want to read verse 26 because I don't want to go through all these numbers. It says, after the 62 and 7, the anointed one, which is Jesus, will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Here's the question. Did God prophesy that the temple would be destroyed in 70 AD? Did Jesus prophesy when the temple was going to be destroyed before 70 AD?
Yes.
Okay? Because I'm trying to let you know, God has already given us the story. And God has already told me it's Israel's 73rd birthday, Sandy. You're out of prophecy time. Just tell the people to be ready. You don't have to try to figure out any more numbers. Go outside, let's talk. Because if you're gonna be in here trying to calculate numbers, we ain't gonna never get to nothing. Because it's not about the numbers now, you don't have any more time. It's about telling people to be ready, okay? So, it says here, now watch this, what I'm reading here, okay? It says, after the 62 and 7, the anointed one will be cut off. Now, that word cut off is karat, which if you look on your paper in Hebrew, it means cut off, eliminated, killed. Then it says to cut a covenant. So whoever this person is has to die for a capital crime, has to die, but he has to start a new covenant at the same time. Mm-hmm. Who do we know that died and started a new covenant at the same time?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. So now that you understand that the person that's dying on the cross, he says, when this time comes, he will be karat. He will die on the cross, and he will start a new covenant at the same time. And that's a blood covenant. Okay? Now, it says, after that, the people of the ruler will come and destroy the temple. After Jesus Christ was crucified, in 70 AD, what happened? The people of the ruler, the Roman government, yep, came and destroyed the city and the temple.
Yes.
See, Jews can't get their heads around that. It's like, okay, somebody came and died and started a covenant, and then 38 years later, they did destroy the temple and the sanctuary. That meant be a prophecy about the Messiah, but let's not do it, okay? So understand that God had already said that the temple was going to be destroyed. Now you get to Matthew chapter 24. And I love Matthew chapter 24. But in chapter 23, before you get to chapter 24, Jesus says this, truly I tell you, all this will come upon this generation. Then he gets to chapter 24, okay? When he gets to chapter 24, Jesus leaves the temple, walking away when the disciples came up to him and called his attention to the building. Do you see all these things, he asked. I tell you the truth, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. So he not only tells them, when they walk out and they're showing him the temple, he not only says this temple's gonna be destroyed, he says every stone is gonna be turned over. Not one stone will be left on top of another. So I pulled up this historian, Flavius Josephus, wrote that the entirety of the temple was indeed totally ruined and the destruction in 70 AD. He went on to say that if he had not personally been in Jerusalem during the war and witnessed the demolition by Titus of the temple that took place there, he wouldn't have believed it ever exists. Stone was turned over as the Roman soldiers were instructed to retrieve all the gold in the temple. So, Jesus says this temple is going to be thrown, every stone is going to be turned over. He repeats the exact same thing in Mark chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, and then again in Luke chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. As he's telling them, your temple is going to be destroyed. And to this very day, they go there and they pray in front of the Kotel HaMoravi, right? In front of the Western Wall. They go and they pray because they know the temple once stood behind them. Okay? So it's a physical evidence that what Jesus prophesied to you came true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, who's controlling time and who's controlling events? The Lord says, look, 7 years has been reserved for Israel, Israel is 73 years old, okay, 73, and the Lord tells me to go outside because you don't have any more time to figure out because prophecy time is over. Tell the people to be ready, okay? So, let's go to the next page here. Hallelujah. Okay, so prophecy, here it is, Psalms 90 verse 10, okay? Psalms 90 verse 10 says this, our days may come to 70 years. I need to read that in Hebrew because I bet it don't say our days may come to. Our days are 70 years. And if 80, our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Okay? Now, he says this. Now, in Psalms 48, verse 13, Psalms 48 is the rebirth of the nation of Israel, right? It's the 19th book, it's the 48th, it's the 48th chapter. 19, 48. The whole chapter of Psalms 48 is talking about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So, when you get to chapter 13, to verse 13, it says, walk about the city and look at everything. And it says, and when you see this happen, go and tell it to the Ledor HaAcharon, the last generation. So the Bible tells you that when Israel is rebirthed, you're in the last generation. Jesus says, when you see the, know the example of the fig tree. When you see this happen, know that this generation shall not pass until. So even the fig tree, which is Israel, in Psalms, they're telling you it's the last generation. Everything's telling you, even in Deuteronomy, it says, in the Ledor HaAcharon, you will come back into your land. And it says, the last generation, you're going to come back into your land. So time has been already settled by God. So what are we doing? We're waiting for what? The Bible to complete itself. That's all I'm waiting for. I'm not waiting for any. They're making robot dogs to help the police in New York. I saw that. Somebody sent me that. I'm like, okay. They're making robot super cops. And I'm like, I ain't going to be here. I'm not going to be here for all that.
Mm-mm.
And to tell you the truth, I'm not even going to think about it once I'm gone.
Not once.
Not even once. I will not think about earth again until Jesus says, mount up, soldiers. And we get on those white horses and we ride behind him as he's on a horse in front of us. That's the only time I'm going to think about. When he says, mount up, that's when I'll think about earth again. But from that time, for 7 years and 6 months, I will not even consider what's going on there.
Don't care.
Unless somebody else brings it up there, and I don't know what the rules are, but I ain't thinking about it. So, now, listen to how this should read, okay? The days of our years are 70, and if 80, by our strength, yet through arrogance and pride, trouble and labor, trouble and wickedness and sorrow, it says, for they quickly pass and then we pass over. So he's telling you that 70 years is a generation. This all was supposed to happen 2017, 2018. Because that was the end of the 6,000 years. But one of the brides is not ready. Only Leah is ready for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The other bride has to be taken 7 years later. So God has promised, I will work an additional 7 years for Leah. And if he didn't say that in Genesis chapter 29, this would be done.
Yeah.
But he's going to work an additional 7 years to get the bride that he originally wanted, which was Israel. And so we're all in this together. You understand? Because once he retrieves Israel, then we're all going to be one in Christ, okay? One body in Christ, everybody has the same Savior, right? So this is what God is doing. I'm going to make up something. I'm telling you right now, Pastor. I'm going to make up a story and put it on YouTube and Facebook. That's going to blow. I'm just make up something crazy. And you know what? Everybody's going to be scared all week. I saw Satan in the sky, and he had shockers in his hand, and he's going to shock all the Christians to death before the rapture. And everybody be like sending it to each other. Don't send it to me. You don't have to send it to me. I already know. I'm focused on Jesus.
Amen.
Okay?
10 minutes, Pastor. 10 minutes.
Now listen to this. The coming of the Antichrist. How do we know it's the Antichrist? How are we going to know? Genesis tells us. Daniel tells us. It says, he will confirm a covenant with the many for 7 years. Daniel chapter 9. Okay? Do you guys want me to go there and read it, or is that okay?
I'm cool.
Okay? Daniel chapter 29 says, he will confirm a covenant with the many for 7 years. But in the midst, it says ahatzi in Hebrew, okay? Because that's half, like Smyrna v'chatzi, 830. In v'chatzi, in the middle, he will break the covenant and stop the offerings in the temple. Wait a minute. If he's going to stop the offerings in the temple, that means that a temple has to be built, because they can't do offerings unless they have a temple. So that means the temple is going to be standing. So then it says he's going to go into the temple and sit in the Holy of Holies and proclaim to the world that he's God. This will be called the abomination of desolation. And from that moment on, since the Jews don't want to accept the Antichrist as being God, he's going to call all nations to destroy him. But God's going to, that flood of water that's going to go out is going to be opened up so that God can protect his people, mm-hmm. even in the midst of a flood. And I mean a flood of trouble.
Yeah.
So this is what's about to happen in the world. You understand? Does Israel need a peace deal? Does Israel have a temple? But in Psalms 122, it seems like, hey, they have a temple all of a sudden, okay? In Psalms 122, it's like, hey, they demanded that the temple be built. In Psalms 24, you see that a flood of water goes out against Israel. Why? Because 2024 is the middle of the tribulation. So God is already like, I'm telling you the story before it happens, so you see it's going to happen. I am watching over my word to do what? To make sure that it is fulfilled. You can't get away from the word of God. You can't make something else happen because of the word. I don't even care if you think you're doing the right thing. Because all those guys that were trying to kill Hitler before 1945 couldn't kill him.
Couldn't.
What, you know why they couldn't?
God.
Because the Bible said he would not die till 1945. That the war would not be over with till 1945. So if they had killed him in 42 or 43 and freed all the people, that wouldn't have been biblically what God had written.
That's right.
What God wrote is going to happen. You understand? So we're sticking with the Bible, okay? So here it is. 5 minutes, Pastor Man?
Yes, sir.
And on your paper, the first seal that's going to be open. Now, I want you to know this, because I know I'm dealing with a lot of people that are listening to a lot of people. There are no seals that have been opened yet. Okay? The first seal that gets open does this. It says, a white horse, which is the false Christ, it doesn't even say Antichrist, the false Christ, all these attribute to appear to be those of Christ. It says the color white represents his purity, his righteousness, He has a crown, just as Christ has many crowns on his head. He appears on a white horse, as Christ does in Revelation 19. He has a bow. His bow reminds us of the covenant, because you have in Hebrew called the rule of first mention. So the bow in Genesis chapter 9, 13 was what? A covenant between God, right? And the people, that he would not do this again. So when the Antichrist comes, he comes with a bow, a new idea, which is what? The peace plan. The guy who wrote this said the parallels between the Antichrist and the real Christ was so close that he was starting to think, as he was studying, that maybe this guy might be Christ. But it's not Christ. There's a false Christ coming. Mm-hmm. He can't come until the church leaves. And once he comes, after the church leaves, he's going to make a covenant with the many. Now, the second seal that's going to be open is going to be war. So you can expect war after the church leaves, mm-hmm. Okay? You don't have to send any YouTube to let you know that a war is being set up between blah, blah, and blah, blah. After we leave, there's going to be war. That's not news. That stuff you're pushing out because you're trying to put people in panic, okay? Because we haven't left doesn't mean God has forgotten about his word. Mm-hmm. Because the rapture hasn't happened yet does not mean that God has forgotten his people.
That's right.
Or that there's a rapture, or that he's prepared a wedding. It's like we're thinking, oh, God may just have maybe forgot. No, he didn't. It's his son's wedding. It's his son's wedding, and his bride is waiting. And you think, okay, well, maybe God forgot. Because if he forgot, I can go through the tribulation. I'm tough. I'm not one of the people. If you forgot, I'm crying. Like, please remember. Because I don't want to see it. Okay, the third seal is going to be famine. This is what I sent the guy today. I said, they're setting up a famine. They're telling farmers that they can't harvest their crop. They got to bury them, and they're keeping food from getting to, because they're planning a famine. I said, oh, here it is in Revelation chapter. Yep, I already know there's going to be a famine. But the language the guy was using in the video, I was like, this guy ain't even saved. I was like, man, I need to pray for you, because you need to pray and accept Jesus Christ, because the main thing is that you got to be ready to leave when it's time to leave, or else you are going to experience a famine, okay? The famine's coming. Yeah. I already know that, okay? So the fourth seal is a pale horse, which is death due to sicknesses and diseases. That's coming in the tribulation. It's coming, okay? The fifth seal will be martyrs. That means that people who believe in Jesus now are going to be being killed, okay? They're going to be murdered, okay? Now, Jesse Ventura, I was watching something of his today, and he brought this lady in. I don't know if you saw this video. He brought this lady in 2009. It was a 2009 interview. She said, I moved out of California because they're planning on vaccinating people with a drug that's going to kill a lot of human beings. And she said, so I don't live here anymore. I live in Panama. And she said, I'm not coming back to this country. And this was an interview in 2009.
Oh, you talked about that before. I remember that.
She knew about this in 2009. She said, I read the papers. I'm a doctor. I knew what they were doing. So I'm like, wow. This is an interview with 2009 with Jesse Ventura, and this lady is talking about a virus and vaccines, forced vaccines, she said. So I'm like, wow, this lady is talking about this in 2009, okay? So all this stuff is happening, okay? The world's not gonna get better until Christ comes. And I mean back, yep. Not down to pull up his own. I'm waiting until he lands foot on it. You're not going to see any peace. You're not going to see things getting better. It's not going to be a new normal. You're about to see it. What are you going to see? The book of Revelation being fulfilled.
Amen.
I can't tell you this because people are signing new contracts and they want to get married in 2 years and they did this and occupy till he comes, fine, but realize he's coming.
Yeah.
Okay? He is coming. And when he comes, I guarantee you, if you're ready, whatever you were planning is not going to be that important anymore to you. You understand? The sixth seal will be God coming to rescue Israel. And we'll talk about this tomorrow. The nah, the plead. Israel has to plead for God to come. They have to say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai, come and rescue us. You're welcome. Come and rescue us. They have to plead for God to come. Because the second time, don't strike the rock, do what?
Speak to the rock.
Speak to it. Because the first time Moses did what?
He struck
the rock, and that was Christ on the cross. The next time the rock comes, you got to speak to it. God was trying to show him. That's why Moses couldn't enter. You were supposed to speak to it to fulfill the prophecy that they have to speak to bring living water in the next time. Okay? And so the living water is coming, but they're going to have to request it. The request is in the Psalms 124, 126, when they say nah, which means a plea for God to come. Let Israel nah, now say, let them nah, let them plead for
yes.
God to come. Okay, so who are you going to put your trust in now, you know? We have the Bible, right? We have the plan. I get so excited at home. I think I'm gonna go through Revelation again so I can just, you know, bask in the plan. Cause I wanna know, I love hearing the plan. And then, here's the best part I like. And then Jesus came, was on a white horse, and all of those who believed in him were on white horses too, and we came with Christ, and he landed on the earth, and then he set up the millennial kingdom, and it's like, wow, that's our ending, on a horse riding behind Jesus from heaven to earth is our hope and our plan. This is almost better than the wedding. I mean, a wedding is a lot of eating and partying and dancing and witnessing and high-fiving. But to get on a horse and to come behind Jesus and to see him in his full glory and his power as he's coming and you're behind him, and you know what you see in front of you? A full-fledged war to destroy Israel. And you know what we're doing? Nobody's sending out YouTube messages. Right? So we know with the breath of his mouth he's going to destroy it. Okay? So we're fully confident. You're on your horse like, this is going to be a breeze. We don't even have to fight. Watch this.
Witness.
If you believe God's word. So this is what I'm saying. Stay in the word of God. Okay? Because his plan is in the word. Tomorrow in Hebrew class, we're going to go over Psalms 126, because Psalms 124 and Psalms 126 is the middle of the tribulation, and Psalms 126 is God boasting about what he's about to do. He's saying, I'm going to come, and I'm coming with my sheaves. You know what the sheaves are?
Us.
The harvest that he took out of the world. He said, I'm coming, and I'm coming back with them. It's in 126. So the plan is set. All we have to do is stay prayerful, stay in Christ, try to get somebody saved. Don't stress yourself out, okay? I know people waiting for Trump to be, I'm like, man, Trump is.
Still?
Y'all waiting for Trump to be president again. Y'all forgot about the Bible. Ooh. You know what I mean? And they're like, well, maybe even if he won't run in 2024, maybe he's gonna run in 20. I'm like, do y'all know Trump's getting older? I mean, I met Trump when I was 19. So I'm like, now I'm almost 60. So I know, and he was an older guy. So I know he's like, gotta be deep 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, we gotta put our hope in something that's real. And what's real is that God has prophesied everything. Praise yeah. God.
Amen.
Mahar. They will get. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Amen. Man, that was...